1, begin transmission.
Well, hello. Hello. I said hello. My name is Tobe. You are listening to another meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee. You're listening to Anon Radio, and it's shortly after 1930 UTC. What do we have on the agenda today? Well, it's funny you should ask. I just was reminded of something kind of interesting that I'm just going to have to tell you all about. It's how I invented a musical genre. And this is one of those hilarious true stories that can only happen to me, and it's absolutely ridiculous. This all started, some years ago, close to 8, 9, maybe 10 years ago by now, probably not quite that long, but it was shortly after I moved into this house, and I had gotten a new computer and some new software, and I was teaching myself how to use it. This would be some recording software, and I was just messing around, and oh boy, I don't even know where to start. I was just learning to use this particular software package. And I didn't want to, you know, go to any great effort programming stuff. I was just trying to record whatever just so I could learn it. And so instead of, you know, getting out some synths and drum machines and all that stuff and programming my brains out, I had just imported a few drum samples from an old 90s industrial drum beat sampling CD that I had from years and years ago. And so I loaded up some drum samples, and I whipped up this industrial drum track, and then I started throwing in other, just because it's quick, in other industrial noises and some instruments and some grunts and some cronks and some zoot and some all that kind of crap, and had your basic sort of industrial dance track. And then to sort of spice it up a little bit, I went online and I found some recordings of some televangelist preaching and saying stupid stuff like televangelists are apt to do. And I took the recording of the televangelist and I chopped it up and I took out all the good parts of him saying crazy stuff like you're going to hell and all that kind of stupid evangelist kind of stuff, and I threw this all together into this track. And before I go on, I'll just tell you right now, no, I don't think I have a copy of this song anymore. So you're not going to hear it today. Be glad. It's not very good. Plus you just hear, you know, it's just crappy late 80s sounding industrial music with, you know, stupid preacher stuff in it. And, you know, I finished it up and I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. And I just saved it and I didn't know what to do with it. Well, a couple days later, I decided to send this to a couple friends of mine who would appreciate it for what it is. You know, it's not a serious thing. It's kind of a joke. It's not kind of a joke. Pretty much a joke. And I sent it to one of my oldest friends, Brian. I've talked about him before, and because he's a huge industrial music fan. And I thought, okay, he likes this kind of music. I've been making this stuff for years. He's always liked it. I'll just send it to him. It'll give him something to listen to. So he listened to it, and he just sent me a message back like, yeah, cool, whatever. So I was like, all right. And this is where it gets good. About a week or maybe 10 days later or so, I get another email from Brian saying that he played this song for a coworker, and his coworker like freaked out and loved it so much. Apparently this guy had just bought a synthesizer and was teaching himself electronic music or something to this nature. And apparently the guy is also some kind of fundamental Christian. And so he really liked the song and he wanted to learn how to make music like this. And so I emailed, so Brian gave me this guy's email address and everything, and I contacted this guy. You know, just out of as a favor to my friend who I've known for 30 years or something like that. And I get to chatting with this guy, and unfortunately, this guy's kind of a noob. He, you know, took some piano lessons as a kid, so he has some keyboard skills, but he has no idea how to produce music. And there's no way I can explain how to produce an entire song in a couple of emails, so I told the guy, you know, just come over. So a couple days later, this guy and his young wife, they're both young, they show up at my house, and I haul them into the studio here and basically teach the guy, this is how I go about doing this stuff, and here's how I went about making that song that you like so much. Now, it was about halfway through this process that I realized that this guy likes this song for different reasons than everybody else does. To me, this song is a joke. It just, you know, is a cliche on top of a cliche, meaning this is just horrible, typical music. And on top of it, I just put on this preacher just to make this preacher sound stupid, just to point out the idiocy of some types of Christian evangelism. Well, as much as I thought this was a very funny joke, there were some people who heard this song who took it seriously, who thought, yes, this is a good message that this song sends out to people, and blah, blah, blah. And this guy, who is now sitting 3 feet away from me in my studio, is one of these people. He wants to make music like this because he's a Christian, and he's an evangelist, and blah, 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 and he's gonna... Yes, so I taught this guy how to make Christian industrial music. Because, well, apparently I invented it with that one song. And this guy, apparently I inspired him. So I didn't ever let on to this guy or his wife that I made this song as a joke because Christianity in itself isn't a joke, but the evangelical Christians are a joke. But this guy didn't see it this way, so I just kept sort of playing it straight, so to speak, and let this guy go nuts. I probably spent, 3 or 4 hours with this guy and his wife just teaching them stuff. Here's how you multi-track record. Here's how you lay down a bass line. Here's how you do this. Here's how you do that. You know, just edit and mix it down and master it. Oh, and when this guy left, he was excited, and he was going to just knock the world on its ear with his brand of industrial Christian music, the new genre that I started without knowing it. In spite of myself, accidentally, I started a new musical genre, and oh my God, I've never been more ashamed in my life. I've never wanted to be more of a failure than I do now. Oh boy, and I don't know where Christian industrial music is today. I don't know if there's groups recording. I don't know if there's anything out there because it's not anything I'm into. But if it's anywhere, if the genre has gone anywhere, oh, I hate to say it, but you can blame me. It's all my fault. About a week or so afterwards, every couple days I was getting emails from this guy, just little emails, what about this, what about that, and I would just give him quick answers, and I didn't hear anything about it after that for quite a while. Maybe 2 months later, it wasn't that long later afterwards, but I got an email from my friend Brian saying, hey, do you want to buy that guy's equipment? That's right. 2 months later, the guy is out of the Christian industrial music business because They found out that they were pregnant. He and his wife, I think technically his wife was pregnant. And so he had to sell all of his gear. His new synthesizer, his amp, and whatever other crap he bought in order to make Christian industrial music, he ended up having to sell it so that they could afford to have a baby. Now, not being a Christian myself, it would make more sense to me to get the money together and be sure that you're financially stable before you even decide to get pregnant. But hey, what do I know? Let's just be glad that it's possible that the reason there is no Christian industrial music charting today is because that guy got his wife pregnant and had to sell his gear. So, I guess we can say that there are some good things that come from unplanned pregnancies. Otherwise, you might be hearing me say something like this. You're listening to Anon Radio. This has been the Dubious Goals Committee. And coming up next, the Christian Industrial Hour with DJ Pontius Pilate. Or whatever. Yeah. You'll notice on the Anon Radio schedule that there is no Industrial Christian Hour. You're welcome. And I guess I should probably take this time to remind everyone that you are in fact listening to Anon Radio. My name is Tobe, and I am the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee. What's next on the agenda? Bicycle pedal reflectors. You know those little reflectors that are on the pedals of bikes? They're yellow and they're about a centimeter wide and 3 centimeters long. I have a large collection of those. And I only bring it up because I found one today and I was getting kind of nervous because I don't think I found any this year and I tried to find at least a few. Out near one of my secret mushroom grounds, there is a bike path. And this is in the floodplain, and so the terrain is nice and rolly, and there's logs and trees to dodge and little jumps to do and all this kind of stuff. And needless to say, there's enough crashing and running into things that the reflectors from bicycle pedals can be found along this one particular trail that I walk quite often. And I'm always looking for these, and every time I see one, and I find at least one every year. And I haven't gone out to this one particular place very often this year. That's why I've only found one. Usually, if I'm going there once a week, I'll find half a dozen in the span of a summer. So I've got, probably close to 25 or 30 of these little yellow bike pedal reflectors. And what am I going to do with them? I have no idea. I was vaguely thinking about gluing them to the side of my house. I live on a hill and the street curves right by my house. And so there's one point where when you're coming down the hill that your headlights are kind of pointing at the side of my house. And as you go by, the light sweeps the side of my house. And I thought, it might be neat if I put those reflectors in a line on the side of my house so that when a car drives by, you get the nice sort of traveling brrrr of the reflectors. And I haven't figured out how to go about exactly doing that. I mean, glue reflectors to house, not difficult, but I gotta find the right light angles. I gotta find the right beam field. And you know, it's getting dark now. I should get in my car, drive up the street, and come back down to see where that light hits my house. You know, I think I will do that. So while I'm driving around in my car pointing my lights at my house, I want you to listen to this.
Back for another one. see. Back to the block, Snoop Doggy Dogg, funky as Buck Buck. The Doc went solo on that ass, but it's still the same. Long Beach is the spot where I serve my cane. Follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, but don't lose your grip. Nine trizzies to get here for me to clizz out my grip. And I ain't holding nothing back. And once again, I got five on the 20 sack. It's like that, and as a matter of fact, see, cause I never hesitate to put a fool on his back. So peep out the manuscript. What's my name? The bow to the wild, creeping and crawling. Yiggy, yes, y'all, and Snoop Doggy Dogg in the house. Like every day, and I'm right back up in you with Dr. Dre. Like I said, none of y'all can get with this, and none of y'all can get with that hit I just dropped, cause you know it don't stop. Mr. 187 on the undercover cop. Tick tock, now with a Glock, just some, and I rob you for your ends, and I kill them blood rocks. Then I step through the fog, and I creep through the small, cause I'm
back with another one of those block rocking beats.
Now just throw your hands way up in the air and wave them all around like you just don't care. Yeah, roll up the dank and poke the drink and watch it stink, cause Doggy's on the game. My bankroll's on swole, I'm still on hit legit and now I'm on parole. Stroll, I got the dog pound right behind me and up in yo. That's where you might find me, laying that, playing that G thing. She want the G with the biggest sack, and who's that? He is I and I am him, I'm slim with the tilted brain.
What's your name?
Oh, Doggy Dog.
Oh boy, that is a great track, isn't it? I just love that song. Can't really get enough of it. I listen to that all the time. You can't blame me. Well, you're listening to Anon Radio. My name is Tobe, and if you'll check your clock, you'll notice that it's sometime after 1930 UTC, but it is before 20 o'clock. If you need a more accurate time than that, I would say consult your local chronometer. In the meantime, why don't you listen to this next awesome tune?
To save the life I I've done my best, have I not?
Indeed.
I've never been guilty of any institutional infraction, have I, Father?
You certainly have not, 655321.
You are listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, right here on Anon Radio. My name is Tobe, I'm your host, I'm your chairman, and I am your very corrupt financial officer. What are we talking about today? Well, I am hearing an unusual sound coming from either my walls or the ceiling, but now I don't hear it again. And it sounded like tiny little feet running across the floor, which would lead me, not like my cat, more like a mouse or a vole. So, I guess it's that time of year again. It starts to get cold outside, and all the little dudes that normally live outside find ways to get inside my house. Usually I find them in my basement. I'll see them. I'll be sitting or standing at my electronics bench, and I'll be doing stuff, and then I'll hear, and I'll look up, and running along the cinder block wall is the damn mouse. And then they stop, and they stare at you, and they go, ha, F you, buddy, and they keep on running. There's nothing you can do about it. They crack me up every once in a while. Every once in a while, I see one, and they're real funny. I used to trap them, and when I say trap them, I don't mean with a mouse trap that is the snappy kind. I would, you know, get a live trap, and I would put them up there where they like to run, and I go down to my basement every once in a while, and I'd check the trap, and then I'd go outside and walk about, you know, half a block away, and then release them into somebody's yard. But I stopped doing that. I don't know if I even saw any last year, but that really sounded like a mouse. But it was kind of big, too. Maybe it's a big mouse. Oh, did I mention I saw a mink today? Oh, that was yesterday. When did I see that? Yeah, I already talked about it. Yesterday. Anyway, yeah, so if I'm going to have to get some cameras out or something. I always wanted to get a trail camera and then leave it in my house to see if I could get pictures of these mice running around. But one time I actually caught one, and I had it in a little thing, and I brought it upstairs to show my cat, and my cat didn't get it. You know, my cat was sitting there sniffing around. I have it in like a clear shoe box, a clear plastic shoe box with a clear lid. The cat's smelling the edge of it, and it's not paying any attention to the noise or the mouse running around inside this little plastic clear box. Oh, my cat is unusual in that she doesn't seem to like normal cat things. She's got her own thing going for her, like ham. My cat and ham. I don't get it. Cat's not interested in tuna. Cat's not interested in chicken. Ham. That's right, you heard it here first. In lottery news, you may remember that I got a free ticket for the Nebraska Pick 5 lottery. And the drawing was last night, and I don't remember what the five numbers they drew were, but none of them matched the numbers that I had. And if you don't remember the numbers that I had, the numbers are 8, 10, 15, 24, and 29. So, I did not in fact win $70,000. But I can't complain because the ticket was free. Oh well. See you later, free lottery ticket. And in sports apparel related news, still no progress on my scarf report. I don't know. I still haven't consolidated all my football scarves, so I don't know how many I have or what teams I have scarves for. Also, the other day I was organizing my room here that I'm in right now, the master control room, and I was organizing my rugby backpacks. This is kind of hard to explain, but every time you go to a rugby game, you get a free backpack, and I have a bunch of these backpacks. And one of them, when I picked it up, it was a little heavy. So I reached in there and And inside the backpack was a 20-pack, or what was left of a 20-pack, of Hot Hands. You know those hand warmers that you can get that are, what are they? I've got one right here. They're vermiculite and iron and something. The iron powder, water, salt, activated charcoal, and vermiculite. Somehow that creates an exothermic reaction that keeps your hands warm. Well, I bought a pack of these. I went to, I don't know, it might have been Walmart or somewhere to get like disposable rain ponchos, because this was all for going to the All Blacks game in Chicago last year at about this time. And so I didn't know what the weather was going to be like, and it was supposed to be rainy and cold, and so I got disposable ponchos and I got a bunch of these hand warmers, enough for three people to put them all over our bodies so we'd stay warm in case it was cold. And although it was cold the night before, during the day, once the sun came out, it was fine. It was nice, and we watched the All Blacks demolish the United States rugby team, as depicted in a previous Dubious Goals Committee broadcast. You might remember me talking about it. But speaking of talking about it, I am out of it. I am out of time. That's what we're talking about. You have been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee on Anon Radio. My name is Tobe. I'm your host and chairman, but my time is up. Please stay tuned for the sound show starring everybody's favorite SDF DJ, Barnacle. He's coming up next. Stay tuned. I'm gone. Bye, 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 bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
You gonna be Radio Kitty?